Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is our third and final to set the stage for your football weekend. The first 2 hours of this show dedicated to the National Football League. We have now previewed every single game for week 14 and the Sunday slate, all 11, but we are not done in the NFL. Our week 14 pick six comes your way to end out the final half hour of this final hour. But starting off the final hour, welcome to conference championship weekend in college football. 9 FBS conference title matchups that begin with 3 on this Friday, 6 on Saturday, where conference crowns are at stake in spots in the first ever 12-team college football playoff are on the line ahead of Selection Sunday. Upcoming this weekend. Joe, there is so much to break down across all 9 of our conference championship matchups, but I will start this with this before I turn it over to you. All 9 games feature a spread of 5.5 points or fewer. We are expecting some highly competitive conference championship matchups all weekend long.
Yeah, and it's the first time it's happened in a very long time, Ben, where we get to this conference championship and nobody is a touchdown or more favorite. I do think that will change, obviously, moving forward as the playoffs begin. But for this week, expect nothing, Ben, but down to the wire, I think great football games across the board. Nobody is going to go down easily this week in conference championships.
And we wanted to hear from the people, their excitement, what they are most looking forward to out of the Power Conference championship games, all 4 coming tomorrow. It starts in Arlington at AT&T Stadium. That's the Big 12 title game. It heads to Atlanta at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's the SEC championship game. And then a doubleheader in primetime. ACC title matchup in Charlotte. Big 10 title game in Indianapolis. Which one is the public the most stoked for? That was the question, and fade the public. The era of the Power Four, the era of the Big Two. Which college football conference championship game are you most excited for? We did not include the group of 5 with a focus on the Power Four. There's also only 4 options in a poll on Twitter. At SportsGrid on Twitter or X or whatever. Is it the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, or the SEC? The Big 10, a slight edge as the favorite matchup from the public, Joe, entering conference title weekend. I actually think it would be larger. I was voting in the poll on my way into the subway, on my way into work today. Finger slipped. I hit the SEC, but I'm Big Ten Ben, so I never would have voted for the SEC. I goosed the numbers in an inappropriate way.
Yeah, no, you did, Ben. And I got to tell you, the public, I've talked to a number of guys in the risk rooms in sportsbooks this week, and the least bet, the least amount of handle that we have seen all week, Ben, is in the ACC, and I think that poll, the public is telling you that Not a lot of interest with SMU and Clemson. Maybe a little bit more before kickoff tomorrow. But I think, Ben, I'm kind of with you. I think the Big Ten is the most intriguing and most exciting one that's coming up this week.
Of course, I'm excited for them all. And I do believe that in the Big Two, right, the Big Ten championship game, the SEC title game, that people would look at them and say, well, we know both teams are going to make the college football playoff. It's just a matter of who wins a conference championship and might earn the opening round bye in the CFP and what happens to the seed line of the loser. And I would respond by saying, yes, that is an awesome and underrated storyline. If Penn State loses in their second game as an underdog this year in that classic step-up spot, will they still stay where they are projected right now in the bracket at the 5 seed, which is an incredibly favorable spot to be that top at-large team in the CFP field? Would Georgia move down, be in danger of not hosting a first-round game between the hedges? I cannot wait to see how the committee deals with the losers of that Big Ten and SEC championship game. What happens if the underdogs strike the outright upset? But I would say, Joe, I actually think the ACC and the Big 12 championship games are the most intriguing. I think the actual most intriguing game is the ACC, because what happens if SMU loses and Clemson acts as a bid stealer? Would the Mustangs still earn an at-large berth? They're 3 spots in front of what would be the final at-large team right now, Alabama. Would the committee, who is deemed that in a 12-game and equal sample size, SMU is 3 spots ahead of the Crimson Tide, would they move the Stangs out if they lost in Charlotte tomorrow night? Would Alabama take the final spot, or would the Crimson Tide be knocked out if Clemson, who does not deserve a spot to the college football playoff, wins an automatic bid as a conference champion? And Joe, although there is some sort of precedent in the decade-long history of the four-team format of the college football playoff for teams that are idle on conference championship weekends and those that play and might win or lose, we do not know, because this is the very first year of it, how this year's committee will deal with this 12-team field come Sunday.
That's correct. And I think you're right. The ACC championship carries the most intrigue simply because it's the one conference tournament that will affect who's going in and who's going home.
Right.
And I think it's not as clean cut as, hey, Clemson wins, SMU now bounced out, Alabama in. I think it's how Clemson wins that is the most important. If Clemson wins in a rout, then we're having a totally different conversation here about SMU, and maybe the committee is as well, with Alabama at 3 losses being the team to put in. But if SMU wins and wins rather easily, that's all she wrote. There's nothing else to discuss at that point.
Crimson Tide fans, despite being SECers and not loving the ACC or frankly any other power conference at this moment, should actually be heavily cheering for SMU tomorrow night in Charlotte, because if the Stangs win, Alabama has the final at-large berth. Miami's not going to move past them, both not playing this weekend. Ole Miss or South Carolina is not going to move past the Crimson Tide. Alabama seals its fate if SMU seals its fate by winning a conference crown. Right. We'll get to the ACC in our next segment. Joe, let's start with the SEC championship game. It's Texas and Georgia for a second time this year. And perhaps, like me, you were slightly surprised to see the Longhorns as a favorite in Atlanta. Of course, it was Texas as a home favorite in Austin on October 19th against UGA. They lost outright by 15 points. Georgia handling Texas that day in Austin, 30-15. So, Joe, is the right side favored entering the SEC championship game tomorrow in Atlanta, Georgia?
I think it is. I mean, Texas is, I would consider to be in better form now, especially after that loss in Austin, but I don't even know what the hell that means anymore in college football, Ben. What I do know is that How in the world are we getting 50 points in this game with these two defenses? Who we just saw. Listen, the problem in game one is neither team could run. And if it wasn't for the miscues, and the reason Georgia won that game is because Georgia was able to take those miscues by Texas and convert them to points. Texas was not. But Texas looked like a totally different team in the second half of that game, which is what made it at least somewhat respectable here. I think given now extra time, familiarity, this Ben, is a 20-17 game.
We will talk about the SEC title and every other one on Conference Championship Weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go to Atlanta. It's Conference Championship Weekend, and we continue our conversation around the SEC title game. Entering our regular season finale weekend, that's even before Friday, Georgia was an odds-on favorite to win the SEC crown. They got tested in an 8-overtime thriller by Georgia Tech. They escaped with a victory. Texas was a slight road favorite in the renewal of the Lone Star Showdown. And they took care of business to earn that second and final spot into the SEC championship game. And thus, when Texas won and Georgia barely escaped, the Longhorns now enter Atlanta as a slight favorite. Joe, Georgia has been an underdog twice since the start of 2021. Yeah. In that season opener against Clemson, they won outright. More recently, on October 19th against Texas in Austin, Georgia won outright by 2 touchdowns. I was getting ready to just out of precedent bet the Bulldogs as the dog once again. And then I started to look back at that game between the Bulldogs and the Longhorns in Austin and where these two teams have been ever since. Texas remains the elite defense. Georgia has struggled mightily. More than 530 yards allowed against Georgia Tech last weekend. More than 200 on the ground. UGA is allowing 136 rushing yards per game. That is the worst they have been in a long time. They are allowing 20.5 points per game. It's the first time a Dogs defense has surrendered 20-plus points per game since 2018. And I'm not even sure the Longhorns right now are the offense to take advantage of it, but Contravion Weisner has taken over as the lead back. He has been career best in the last 2 weeks, as we saw against A&M. And if Quinn Ewers, unlike the first go-around against UGA, or even unlike last week in College Station, can play clean football, I think Texas wins the SEC championship and covers as a 2.5-point favorite tomorrow afternoon in Atlanta.
Yeah, listen, second-ranked scoring defense in all of college football, giving up 11.7 points per game. This Texas defense is no joke. It was not the Texas defense fault the first go around. They didn't give up 30 points. They were put in ridiculous spots and short fields in that first half, and that it was kind of the difference, because what they did in the second half was pretty, I think, telling of what we can expect here. We were just talking, Ben, and I love the under here at 49.5 and 50. I even love the first half under, I think. Points, turnovers, I think all of that gets cleaned up. I think this game is really tight early on. I do think the scoring is coming in the second half, which will what decide it, but 24.5 in the first half is the total. I think we go woefully under that. This has got 10-7 written all over it at the break.
Georgia won outright as a 4-point dog in the first matchup back in late October. Total of 52.5 stayed well under as well. Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis, not the game we anticipated entering last week. And Ohio State needed simply a win in the game as a 3-touchdown home favorite against the Maize and Blue. Of course, they lost outright. Penn State takes care of Maryland. It's the Nittany Lions into the Big Ten championship game for just the second time ever under James Franklin, Oregon's first year in the Big Ten, and a second consecutive conference title game appearance. They played in the Pac-12 title game exactly a year ago as nearly a double-digit favorite against Washington. Dan Lanning and the Ducks lost that game outright. Joe, we know the story, frankly, for Penn State and James Franklin. As an underdog the last three seasons, 0-5 straight up, only a cover. James Franklin and the Nittany Lions against top five opponents, 1-14 in his now 11 seasons in Happy Valley. Will any of that change with a conference title at stake tomorrow night in Indy?
Listen, it could very well. I do think that, number one, we have two top 10 scoring defenses. Both of these teams defensively combined to allow just 30 points per game. Ben, that's together here. These two defenses have been great. I think physicality is going to be a big determining factor in here. Who wins this line of scrimmage? The Ducks, very physical. We know Penn State is going to want to get down and dirty there in the trenches. They have to be able to run the ball, the Nittany Lions. Forget about James Franklin and all those records. It means absolutely nothing. This is a game of who wins in the trenches. Either way, Ben, again, I don't see us getting to 50.5 points. I think Penn State can not only cover but can win this game, but only if they keep it to a minimal score. I think the under is maybe the play of the weekend in this game between these two teams. I'm not expecting a shootout in any way, shape, or form. Much closer to what Penn State and Ohio State went through, I think, is a better indicator.
I would agree, Joe. These two teams ranked top 10 in both total and scoring defense. Oregon's defensive improvement, in my opinion, under Tosh Lupoi, is why Oregon, again, in my opinion, is the most balanced team in college football at this current moment, deserving of being the only undefeated FBS team this season and that number one team in the nation. I will say, though, I thought this line would actually be a little bit higher than 3.5 when it opened at 3.5. I bet Oregon laying the number, expecting it to be 4.5, maybe 5. By the time we spoke on Friday, it's remained at 3.5. We know the Nittany Lions have struggled as an underdog. Five games since the start of 2022. Three times against Ohio State. Twice against Michigan. Five outright losses. One cover only. That came against the Buckeyes back in 2022. Penn State lost by double digits, but did cover as a 15.5 point underdog. I still think Oregon wins. I will say, if you want some betting optimism for the Nittany Lions, almost like last night, Joe, on a Thursday in Detroit, the line has just remained at 3.5, which that hook could loom very large come tomorrow night in Indianapolis. All right, we'll talk about the ACC title game in the Big 12 championship game on the other side of the break, and some quick thoughts as we get you ready for conference championship weekend and a triple header on this Friday. Even if it delays the NFL Week 14 pick six, we will make sure that you have everything you need for conference championship weekend in college football. Come back and join us after the break, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We have to round out the other two Power Four Conference Championship games on Saturday. We start in primetime in Charlotte, ACC title game between number 8 SMU and 17th ranked Clemson. The Tigers only here because Miami was upset on the road last week in Central New York against the Syracuse Orange. SMU undefeated in its first year in the ACC, looking for its second consecutive conference title as they were unbeaten in the American and a conference title winner a season ago. SMU, Joe, 2.5 point favorite. Total stands at 55.5. How do you break down the ACC action tomorrow night with a championship on the line in Charlotte?
This was one of the first games that I bet when the lines came out. And I think a bunch of people followed suit because it has gone a little bit higher here. How in the world are we staying under this total with these two offenses? Garrett Riley, the offensive coordinator at Clemson, and Lashley there at SMU. These are guys, two offenses that average just 25 seconds per play run. And they're both able to get some explosive plays going and generating scoring opportunities. Listen, Clemson's biggest problem is they don't stop the run very well, right? Well, guess what SMU does pretty much better than anybody? And we'll be one of the better running teams here with Preshard Smith, who averages, Ben, are you ready for this? Almost 3.5 yards after first contact. So he is, you're not getting him down. And Lashley loves, and I mean absolutely loves, to get it going and catch defenses sleeping. I think Garrett Riley, they took the gloves off early on in the season. Dabo let him be who he is, which is a very fast-paced, up-tempo, take-shots kind of offense. I think this is going to come down to a final possession. I think it's going to be the highest scoring game of the weekend. And Ben, quite honestly, maybe the most entertaining one that we have this week.
And potentially with the most at stake if SMU does not win, despite being that slight favorite against the Tigers in Clemson claims its 8th ACC championship in the last decade. Because Clemson is not going to the college football playoff if they lose this game.
Right.
They have no case too, but they can be a bid stealer like we see during conference tourney week in college hoops. Now, Joe, I understand how we expect some points. SMU, since the BYU loss, has won 9 consecutive games. They have covered in 7 of them. And in their first 7 in the 9-game win streak, they had gone over 6 times. Now under in 2 straight. But against Cal and Virginia, 2 teams at 500 or worse. SMU has 5 wins against teams that are above 500 this year. They've gone over in all 5. The Stangs have allowed at least 25 points in all 5 games, despite the fact that SMU enters as the best scoring defense in the ACC, the only team allowing fewer than 20 points per game. But here's where I get a little bit scared off the total. Clemson has played 4 games this year against teams above 500. They are 1-3 straight up. They are 0-4 against the spread. Their only outright win, a last-minute comeback against Pittsburgh when they were booked as a double-digit favorite against the Panthers. They have gone under in all 4 games. The most they have scored in any of the 4 is 24, and their average score is 15.5 points per game. In the other 8 games that Clemson has played this year against teams at 500 or worse, they're averaging nearly 46 points per game, and their scoring output would be the best in the nation. So I'm a little bit worried about Clemson in this matchup. I do think we flirt with that total, but I think SMU wins and covers. Big 12 championship game to kick off conference title Saturday in Arlington. Yet another short spread. 2.5 points in favor of Iowa State. Now just 1.5. 49 and a hook is that total. Joe, it's expected to be a basic pick 'em in the Big 12 bash to kick things off tomorrow. Who wins the Big 12 championship and thus a spot in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great run for the Sun Devils, but they went 6-1 in 1-score games this year, Ben. They took total advantage of the schedule, which allowed them to beat teams that had the 6 of the 7 worst conference records in front of them. So I do think Iowa State more battle-tested. Matt Campbell has been here. I think he gets it done and breaks through finally out of the Big 12.
Listen, it's a huge game for Cam Scadabu if ASU is going to win. Iowa State's rush defense is porous. That's how Arizona State wins a Big 12 crown. The rest of conference championship weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Power 4 conference championship games in the book. Now let's look at some group of 5 matchups, including 3 on this Friday night, and then I promise we will get to our NFL Week 14 pick 6. Joe, it starts, well, all three games actually kick off around 8 p.m. Eastern time, which is a little bit weird. They didn't stagger the starts, but one of the biggest games, of course, is in the Mountain West title game on the Smurf turf of Albertson Stadium in Boise, Idaho. Number 10, Boise State. Number 20, UNLV. A rematch of a great game to end out October on a Friday night in Las Vegas. Boise State went into Las Vegas, beat UNLV, and covered as a 4-point road favorite. This game in Boise, and yet the Broncos just a 3.5-point favorite. Joe, more than likely, this game and the winner is going to claim a spot as an automatic bid as one of the five highest-ranked conference champs to the college football playoff. So who earns that right in a Mountain West title tonight?
Listen, Ben, I said it way back when you go back to when Sluka decided that they weren't paying him enough money at UNLV and wanted to transfer. Yeah. And at that time, boy, all signs were looking like this was a real UNLV team here. As Barry Odom has just, you know, he is a guy whose name is going to be brought up in a lot of very high profile jobs sooner rather than later here, Ben. But I said it then. I said, this team, if they are able to come out and face this kind of adversity, go through the ringer like this, and yet here we are. They have made it to this point. They're in the conference championship game. They are battle-tested as far as I'm concerned. Yes, it's the blue turf. I get that. But they just won a game in San Jose State in absolutely horrific weather conditions here. There won't be rain. There won't be sleet. There won't be anything that. It will be cold. But it's just another thing the Running Rebels will overcome, I think, in this game. Not only am I taking the points, I'm betting them on the money line here. I get the better defense in UNLV, and I get the better special teams unit in UNLV. That matters in games like this. They did a good job of limiting Genty to first go around. They're going to do it again here, Ben, only this time they're going to win the game. UNLV all day for me tonight.
UNLV as an underdog this year, both 2-1 straight up and against the spread. The non-cover, the loss was against Boise State, but two outright wins as an underdog against Houston and Kansas. Matthew Sluka was the starter for both, but Haj Malik Williams has been sensational. It was Ashton Genty's season low. 33 carries, 128 yards the first time they played the running Rebs. 3.8 yards per pop, almost unheard of. The only time this year Genty has averaged less than 4.8 yards per carry. It seems as though Travis Hunter, and deservedly so, is going to win the Heisman Trophy. He's minus 6,000 entering conference championship weekend. If Genty has any shot, and if Boise State is going to win the Mountain West, you would expect a heavy dosage and a huge game out of Genty tonight, but UNLV good up front as well. Joe, the two other games tonight, Jacksonville State, CUSA Conference Championship hosting Western Kentucky. It was the Hilltoppers winning at home last week, slightly as an underdog outright over the Gamecocks to play in this game. But now it's a 4.5-point spread in favor of Rich Rod and Jack State at home tonight. Army will host Tulane as a 5.5-point home underdog on the banks of the Hudson at Michi Stadium. Had Tulane just simply won last week against Memphis, Joe, on Thanksgiving night, and you are correct, UNLV does pull the upset tonight, it would have been a great debate come Sunday. Running Rebs, yep. Green Wave, who earns a spot in the college football playoff? Tulane squandered that opportunity on Turkey Day. What do you make of our two other games on this Friday?
So the first one, we were just talking about Jacksonville State here and Western Kentucky game we just saw, right? That went woefully under the total. But the problem is we need to know what's going on with Jacksonville State quarterback Tyler Huff. He left that game last week with an ankle injury. And we're talking about a guy with more than 2,000 yards passing and over 1,200 yards rushing and 13 scores on the ground. You're not replacing him that easily. If he is a go here, Ben, I think there's great value on the over because unlike last week, I expect Rich Rod and company. I expect this one to be a wild shootout here tonight.
Yeah, listen, when you look at this game, it should be a high-scoring affair. The Gamecocks are the third-best rushing defense in the country, nearly 258 yards per game on the ground. And when you look at Western Kentucky, they're not elite stifling that run. But last week was 19-7. Okay, maybe it stays under. I am not so sure. Listen, I've got a topper's ticket to win CUSA that I bet after Liberty was upset by Kennesaw State way back in the middle of October. I'm holding on hope. The money line price tonight is not any better than when I got the plus money price on Western Kentucky and Tyson Helton to win the conference championship. If Western Kentucky can keep pace, Caden Veltkamp, their young quarterback, is a big reason why. Threw for over 300 and a touchdown last week in the outright win against Jacksonville State to play the Gamecocks for a second consecutive week tonight. Two other Group of Five games tomorrow. MAC championship game at Ford Field in Detroit. The Battle of Ohio in Michigan. The Bobcats and the Redhawks of Miami of Ohio each have played in this game once in the last 2 years. Miami of Ohio and Chuck Martin, the conference title winners a season ago. Total is dropping now 43.5. Louisiana and Marshall, the Raging Cajuns, and Michael Demereaux taking over for Billy Napier. Their offense has been great. They're a 5.5-point favorite. Marshall, alongside Arizona State, Joe, two of the only teams in the country that have covered in at least 10 games this year. They're 10-2 against the spread, including 4-0 ATS this year as an underdog.
Listen, I'm not stepping in front of Marshall. You mentioned a team that's 11-1 against the number this season. They had to win on the road in consecutive weeks just to get to this game, including down 17-0 at half against JMU of all teams to win in double overtime. To me, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's all about Marshall for me in this one.
Charles Huff, the head coach of the Thundering Herd, has been floated for some other jobs in the Sun Belt, like Southern Mississippi, because despite overwhelming success at Marshall, they are not trying to bring him back. It's one of the weirder situations. Could that complicate things as well as a team is trying to focus on winning a conference crown? But to Joe's point, double overtime victory over James Madison last week, outright as an underdog to get here, an outright victory as a dog against Old Dominion the week prior in the second to last Saturday to even have the opportunity. This Marshall team can play as a dog. Did cover against Ohio State in Columbus in week number two. All right, Joe, week 14, pick six. The quick transition here as we got to fly through a little bit. We've got a minute left in this segment. Let's fire away. Again, a reminder of the pick six. Favorite touchdown score of the weekend. Moneyline underdog to strike the outright upset. Our favorite under of the weekend. An alt line with a sprinkle of plus money. Our favorite yardage prop. And we combine forces for a two-leg, six-point teaser. Anytime TD, Joe Ranieri, fire away.
All right, I'm going to go wide receiver and give me Mike Evans to get it done here for Baker Mayfield against this secondary. Yeah, no, I got no problem. I love this matchup for Mike Evans, 14 TDs in his last 13 home games. He's got he's got 1-7 of his last 9 at home, 10 of his last 13. And the Raiders allow 11 wide receiver TDs in 12 games so far. Yeah, give me Mike Evans to get it done here.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe Ranieri. I certainly would. I think the Bucs put up a ton of points. My favorite anytime touchdown score, Kyren Williams, minus 135 against the vaunted Buffalo Bills. Kyren has scored a touchdown in the first six games of the year. It was 9 straight with a rushing score, then did not score in 4 in a row. Now has scored in the last 2. I think he hits pay dirt on Sunday at home in Los Angeles. More from the pick six next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's continue our Week 14 NFL Sunday Pick 6. We gave you our favorite anytime touchdown scores. Joe Ranieri went with Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe everybody on Tampa might score on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders. I gave you Kyren Williams at a minus 135 price to hit pay dirt on Sunday in L.A. for the Rams against the Buffalo Bills. Moneyline underdog, a team to keep it close and maybe even win outright. Joe, who's pulling off that upset on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I don't get it. We're now favoring the Saints outdoors in December by nearly almost a touchdown here without, by the way, Taysom Hill, which they have struggled significantly without Taysom Hill and his ability to be able to work that offense. They've averaged only 15 points a game during five of the six games that he was not available to them this year. That is a huge contrast, especially on the road. With him active, Ben, the Saints average nearly 27 points a game. Without him, 17. That's a huge difference here. Yes, I think Drew Lock's mobility. I think Dable is definitely got the coaching edge. Give me the home dog here in December, getting these, not only getting the points, but certainly on the money line as an outright money line dog winner.
Yeah, it's a 4.5 point spread now. I don't love the game. I will say this, Darren Rizzi, the pride of the Garden State, the interim head coach of the Saints, returns to New Jersey. It's a line that doesn't make sense, though. It really doesn't. So thus, you could look at the Giants maybe pulling something off with Drew Lock, who they paid, by the way, $5 million to come to New York, maybe doing something. I'm going to believe in the interim bump, as it did once work for New Orleans and Darren Rizzi as well. In his debut, they won outright against Atlanta at home. Thomas Brown has been the interim OC. The Bears almost beat the Packers outright at home and looked so much better offensively in the second half. Thomas Brown now is the interim head coach for the Bears after they made the correct decision and fired that Eberflus. We're going to buy into the interim bump once more. Since 2020, interim head coaches in their debut, 10-3 against the number, 7 outright wins. I don't think the Niners at this moment should be laying many points to most teams around the NFL. And what concerns me is not Isaac Garendo now stepping up and in. It's that San Francisco defense that is still heavily injured. They're going to get people back in the coming weeks, but more than likely not many reserves coming back on Sunday. And Caleb Williams, who threw for 230-plus in two of the first 9 games he played this year, has now done that in 3 consecutive. 5 touchdown tosses to 0 INTs in his last 2 weeks as that offense has started to look a ton better. Give me the Bears outright on the money line on Sunday in Santa Clara.
Yep, love that, Ben. We talked about that game earlier as well. I think this is a really good opportunity for the Bears to be able to get one back in for the new young head coach, which is getting a lot of buzz, by the way. And there's just no way of knowing the 49ers on the defensive side of the ball. If Bosa doesn't go in company and they can't get any pressure on Caleb Williams, they're going to have a really good shot of winning this game outright late.
I also kind of like the Jags outright on the money line, but I thought that might be a little bit too crazy. The Titans should not be laying points to anybody in the National Football League. They should not be laying more than a field goal, despite the fact that Mac Jones is now the starter for a 2-win football team in Jacksonville. Favorite under of the weekend. Where will scoring be at a premium on Sunday?
We talked about this earlier as well, Ben, and we just saw it a couple of weeks ago. The Arizona Cardinals at home now taking on Seattle for a battle of the NFC West. Listen, that game 2 weeks ago, Seattle's defense allowed 131 yards through the first 8 drives that the Cardinals had. They finally started to move the ball a little bit in the fourth quarter, but the problem was their red zone offense is terrible. They had 1 touchdown and 5 field goals last week, and then you had Seattle, who also offensively has been struggling. I expect Arizona to try to run the ball, and run it again. I think Seattle struggles in this matchup. I lean Arizona, but I love the under in round two of this matchup.
Seattle had gone over in five of its first six. They ended up going over last week against the Jets, but it wasn't great offense on either side in that game. 92-yard pick six, kick return touchdown as well. Seattle was under in five straight prior to last week against Gangrene. Arizona under in six of its last eight. I go under 46.5 in Minnesota between the Vikings and the Falcons. Atlanta on a three-game slide, under in all three, under in four in a row. The Vikings are a 5.5-point home favorite. I actually think the Falcons are live in the Kirk Cousins revenge game. But if Minnesota does win, as they have in 10 of 12 games this year, they tend to play to the under with one of the better defenses in the NFL. 8 of 10 games under for the Vikings in their victories this season. Alt line, Germanary, sprinkle a plus money. Who do you like?
Well, I'm going to go to that absolutely gross and disgusting game you had just touched on there, Ben, with Jacksonville and Tennessee. And I'm going to look at Calvin Ridley. I'm expecting a huge game for Calvin Ridley here. 100 or more receiving yards at a great price. Why? Well, number one, he's Will Levis's favorite target, and he's the only one that he can actually trust here. And he'll be facing the worst pass defense in the league, finally. Tennessee faced nothing over the last month except top six defenses. They will not get that this week. I think Levis and Ridley get it done. Big combination this week.
Jacksonville's secondary is atrocious. They are giving up on average more than 276 yards per game. On average in their last three, 300. And that includes limiting C.J. Stroud a week ago to only 218 passing yards. And they're still giving up on average 300 in their last three games. I like that look. I'm sure it's a good sprinkle of plus money. We'll round out our week 14 Sunday pick six up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we go rapid fire to wrap up our Sunday week 14 pick six around the National Football League. Joe Ranieri's alt line, Calvin Ridley, 100 plus receiving yards against Jacksonville. My alt line, Buccaneers team total over 29.5 at plus 142. You want to go up to 30.5 to the over? It's plus 182. I don't mind that either. The Bucs are playing the Raiders, who have lost eight straight games. They've allowed at least 27 points in six of the eight. In the eight-game skid, an average of 29.5. What was that alt team total? Oh, yeah, 29.5. The Bucs have played six teams at 500 or worse this year. They have scored 26 points at least in five of those six, including last week against Carolina, with the additional three coming in overtime. But the Buccaneers' offense was slow to start in that game. Baker was inconsistent. He was bounced. He came back in. He leads the comeback effort against the Panthers. I think the offense at home, Joe, as you alluded to the Mike Evans touchdown, figured things out against a Raiders defense that is atrocious. And frankly, I think there will be some conversations around maybe yet again a new head coach in Sin City moving forward into 2025. All right, two more components of the pick six. Mm-hmm. Our favorite yardage prop of the weekend. Which player are you targeting for week 14?
I'm going to go Justin Jefferson. He's over his, I think it's 84.5 receiving yards. I mean, listen, he's gone over 81 receiving yards in just about every home game this season. He's facing a secondary that has been a bit of a problem for the Atlanta Falcons here. Not to mention, Jefferson's averaging six catches for 104 yards at home this season. What is changing here with this? I don't see anything, in fact, changing in it. I would even look to go up alternate market with this one as well, Ben. I think Jefferson's got to have a big day if Minnesota is going to win this game. He has a big day every time in Minnesota. Why is this game going to be any different?
Yeah, Joe, completely agree. 99 yards last week against Arizona. He has had 81, like you mentioned, in all five home games for the Vikings this year. He's had 81 at least in 9 of the 12 games overall for Minnesota. He is certainly Sam Darnold's favorite target, and for correct reason. The best wide receiver in the NFL. I go Tua Tagovailoa over 252 and a half against the New York Jets. The reason the number is as low as it is because the Jets are a top three passing defense, allowing less than 190 yards per game. But this is a Jets team that is very different than where they had been earlier in the year, what the expectations were. It's about to be, as the Jets have already clinched their 9th consecutive losing season, a train off the tracks. Tua Tagovailoa, at least 288 passing yards in the last three games for Miami. 2+ passing touchdowns in the last three. Miami's still trying to hold on hope to earn a wild card spot. I think they win big at home on Sunday. And oh, by the way, the Jets, that vaunted passing defense, 3 of the last 5 quarterbacks they have played over this number with at least 260. That includes Anthony Richardson just a couple of weeks ago. Tua Tagovailoa over 252 and a half. Now it's time to combine forces for a 2-leg 6-point teaser. Ranieri, you first.
All right, so I am going to look to the correlated game that we spoke about with my total. Seattle and Arizona, I like the under 44 and a half, which would make sense then that I like the Seahawks getting over a touchdown. Ben, 8.5 in this one. It was a close game in the first one. These teams do play some close games. Even though I like Arizona to win the game, that red zone offense is very suspect here. In order to lay 8.5 points, no way. I'll take the 8.5 in a teaser with Seattle.
Yeah, completely agree, Joe. I think this game is close, and I also agree there will be not all that many points on Sunday in the desert. I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers down to a pick against the Cleveland Browns. 6.5 points, not sure the Steelers cover against their AFC North foe, because we know Pittsburgh, you book them as a dog, they're going to win outright. You set them as a favorite, it's not the best spot. With that being said, despite being just 4-3 straight up and against the spread as the favored side this year, I don't think the Steelers lose both of their games against the Browns, and I think they'll have that on their mind to try to solidify their stronghold in the AFC North. Pittsburgh, 6.5 down to a pick. Should we flash up the pick sixes one final time so everybody can see them all together? Is that mine or is that Joe's? I can't even read.
That's mine.
All right, do mine quickly. We got 10 seconds.
There it is.
Maybe not. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday on the Early Line at 8 a.m.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.